Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Sofa Cinema Club, episode number 11. I'm Cole Smith and I'm joined by...
Jack P. Shepherd.
Ben Price.
The Sofa Cinema Club is our podcast where we get together and we educate each other on films. Films we should have seen but we haven't. Each week we watch a film and then we come into the studio and we talk all about it. We talk about what we loved, hated and rated. And the beauty of our film club is that anyone can join in. All you have to do is watch along with the films at home and then come and listen to us every Thursday to see what we thought of the film. This week's film has been picked by Jack and Ben and it is the horror, the thriller, Seven. But before we get into talking about this week's film, what have we been up to? How has your week been? And I know exactly what you're going to say. I thought I could ask that question and we'd just go on like nothing's happened. But I'm still
getting
the devil.
I'll tell you how our week's been, Coulson. Should we just leave 30 seconds of silence? me and Shepherd were there, weren't we? Ready for the podcast Silence of the Lambs. What an ep. What a film.
Great. One of the best.
Belter. One of the
great
best.
Film.
I haven't laughed so hard in years. People were saying that's one of the greatest episodes of podcastery.
We will
never heard.
We will never hear.
We'd have
won awards. I think producer Ben said that'd be the BAFTA that episode.
But it would have been. So just explain to us, Coulson, exactly what happened to your technical error.
So just to put it out there, I've been thrown under the bus by YouTube by saying that I didn't press record. Basically, we finished the episode and a few people were saying, is the podcast scripted? So how it works is we record it on Zoom, but we have a microphone each and we only record our microphone. So then producer Ben does his wizardry and puts it all together. So we finished the episode. I went onto my QuickTime to stop the recording. I pressed stop and I noticed this little spinny thing. And I also noticed that it only had 1 minute and 6 seconds.
Is it still recording now, Coulson?
It is. I'm at 10 minutes and 53. I've got it right in front of me, just in case anything happens. So, we just lost it. My QuickTime froze.
Well done, Shepherd. Well pointed out. That's what I love about you. It's those small little bits, Coulson, where you're labelling us. No, me and Shepherd are on 25-year-old computers. We're making it work. You get a new one, week one.
Brand new MacBook
bust. I'm on a late 2012.
I'm on Windows 98.
I'm on a ZX Spectrum. It's holding on.
But the painful bit was that we didn't give up. Like, producer Ben was like, don't worry, it'll be there. It never does this. It'll be there. So I'm there going through QuickTime deleted files, and we get the file, and it's going to work. It's going to work. But this file is about 8 hours long, because obviously it never stopped recording. And when we got it sent, it didn't play. It wasn't there. So I'm saying we got beat by a technical error. But it is quite interesting because as soon as we put out...
you got beaten by a technical error, which was
I'll
you
start
didn't
saying
press record.
It's my podcast if I can't say we. As soon as I put out the video of us having the emergency team meeting, people were jumping on Twitter to basically say how it was the best film that we'd ever picked and that how it was a disaster.
So then people were saying, well, can't you just redo the podcast? But
yeah.
The thing
we did
is,
talk about this, didn't we?
Yeah, the thing is what we decided is that you can't create magic twice. And, and if we were to get... I mean, the thing is with us is none of it is scripted. It all's just... Yeah,
we were funny. Even, yeah. Do you know what? One of the funniest... Funny, yeah. You were funny, Coulson. If only we could hear it.
Yeah.
If only we could play... I'm sure you... We are actually going to play little clips of me and Jack being very funny.
Mm. But yeah, so somebody on Twitter has asked if there's any chance we could hear a snippet of what it was like. So we are going to play a snippet in that. We're going to play a snippet of the best bits, obviously just of Jack and Ben and the ratings. And then afterwards, I will tell you what my rating was. And yeah, so obviously a lot of people on Twitter were fairly gutted that we weren't doing this episode because it's a film that everybody knows. Sheila English on Twitter tweeted, "I think we should hear it anyway. We can fill in the parts that Coulson said and just guess what he would say. It'd be funny. It's a good game." So let's hear some of it, shall we?
Silence of the Lambs follows an FBI agent, Clarice Starling, and she's a rookie. She's a trainee. She gets assigned to this case of profiling serial killers. So she goes to meet serial killer Dr. Hannibal Lecter, played by Anthony Hopkins. And during their meeting, she discovers that he knows about a serial killer that's currently on the loose called Buffalo Bill, and helping her try to find Buffalo Bill, the serial killer. That's the synopsis. That's all right.
That's all right, yeah. Yeah. You started off a bit drifting, but we picked it up towards the end.
Yeah.
You got in there. What a great way of escaping.
Yeah.
Wear someone else's face and pretend you're the dead copper Hannibal Lecter's battered.
Yeah.
I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to put his uniform on, put his face on my face, and lie here so the paramedics take me out the building. That's the bit I absolutely loved in that film. When he wakes up in the ambulance, takes the face off, and you're like, oh! I remember seeing that in the cinema, and the whole cinema went, oh!
Brilliant.
What do you think of that bit, Coles?
Oh, my battery's low on the laptop.
You knob.
This is
you bloody
shit.
Knob. Yes, you. I'm huffing and puffing.
Hang on.
About, oh, we've got to get this started, and you haven't got a wire.
I'm going to have to go get a charger.
Basics. Hang basics. On. He's walked off.
Shut up.
Basics. Page one. Page one of a podcast is, get your battery for your laptop sorted. The father beans bit when he talks about eating. What's he eat his liver with a bit of Chianti?
I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Did you like that bit, Coles? That's a famous bit. What did you think of the bit when he dressed up, Coulson, with the skin? It's hard not to go 10, really.
Because
I just think it's mint. I think it's got everything. I think it's great performances from both of them, which is great. Great script, great directing. Some really, really, really clever bits of directing in there that you don't notice. It's not fancy directing. It's just bits that the audience wouldn't even know, but you're being manipulated by the director as much as anything. So I'd just go 10.
For me, yeah, what Ben said, but it doesn't go down as one of my all-time favourites, so I can't go 10. I'm going to go 9. It just needs to be something that I can always put on, I guess. And I don't put it on all the time. It's just, that's it, really. I went 9. 28.5.
Brilliant. I was great. I was great. Really in detail.
Right, you know what? I'm going to throw it out there. I wonder whether that format works better.
Is that it? Shall I just
No, you still got to record it. We just don't put you in. You still have to come every week and watch the film and we love. We just don't put... One of us 1 week doesn't get put in. We don't know. Ben just decides. Yes. So I gave it 8.5 and Jack gave... Oh, no. I give it 18.5.
You went 10. You went 10.
Then you gave it 10.
No, but I'm taking you out of it now. You did. You went in there. It's just us two now. I gave it 18.5. Jack gave it a 10. That's
28.5. No, 19.5. I gave it.
You gave it nothing.
Anyway, right.
You didn't give me 10. We can make it up.
Enough of that.
You gave it a 2.
We can enough say of whatever that. We,
so because it went, we still wanted to pick a new film and keep on the genre of Silence of the Lambs, didn't we? Like a horror thriller.
So we picked 7. Right, now that's out of the way. Mm. As Hannah Montana said, everybody makes mistakes. What else have we been up to? How has your week actually been? Nosebleeds.
Shepherd's got a nosebleed. Is that hay fever?
It's hay fever.
So
hay fever and a nosebleed.
Jack, you've had your first day at work.
I've had a couple of days now, yeah.
So good. The beard. Ben, are you happy with what he's done?
With his beard?
You got to be, aren't you? Miles better.
You've come off the island.
Yeah.
The hair. Escaped. The helmet needs a bit of a going over.
Well,
there.
I get my hair cut on the 4th, I think. Is that a Saturday?
Cheers, Boris.
Is that a Saturday? Whatever it is, it's the Saturday, the 5th or 6th or something.
I'm booked in on the 9th. Did you get booked in on the 4th?
I did, yeah. I only booked
you
it.
You must
like...
have been rapid.
Yeah. No, I booked it like
no one goes
3 weeks
to where Jack
you.
Goes.
No,
it's,
they do.
It's only him on the island.
No, they
it's
do.
It's the other lad from the other island. He gets his boat, comes over and just goes,
comes over with his piece of flint.
Pinch the flint. It's one appointment a year. He has to row over to row back. And where you and you're booked in when, Coulson?
9th. I'm in on the 9th. Mm. And now, obviously, Ben, you've gone full Danny Zuko slick back. You'll never go to a hairdresser's again.
I just don't need to. I get my wife who cuts it in the garden. There we go. If you need an appointment, let me know. Coulson, have you done a first day at work?
Yes. Shaved. Beard's gone. Craig Tinker's back. The old fitting.
What are you doing with the
outfit.
Hair? Are you still dyeing the hair or just going to let it...
Well, I've got to keep it, Jack, because I can't get it cut until the 9th. But... Big debate as to whether I...
Stay blonde, that's what I meant.
Yeah. And actually, hold that thought. Went into the post room today. Ha! Oh, look at this.
Wow. That's full guns. He's got like purple...
He's got two
shampoos,
big squirters
massive
of purple
shampoos.
Shampoo. Litre bottles. So you are staying blonde.
So you are
I
staying.
Think it's staying.
Yeah,
I think
it's staying. Of course it is.
How much did that cost you?
Like 50 quid.
Jesus.
I'm going to try and get makeup to pay for it because they asked me to keep it blonde. Kept the Amazon receipt.
And Jack, what are you going to do? You're going to go full shaved Barnett?
No, I'm just going to go back to what I had. Just bit off the sides, bit off the top. Thank you very much. See you later.
See you next year.
See you next year. Yeah.
So, Jack, massive news for you.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, pubs.
Yeah, they open on the 4th of July, don't they? Hopefully we've got the weather.
So what are you going to do? Haircut pub.
Haircut
done.
Pub, yeah. And the good thing in. Is we can keep the 2 metre distance, so there won't be many in, hopefully.
It's 1 metre the then, though, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
One metre, dude, 1 metre. A pint's length.
You can do a selfie at 1 metre.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. We were talking about that, whether it would change our... Can I have a picture?
I've done some in the supermarket.
2 metres away.
Well, I've tried my best.
A lot of people asking me for pitching. I was going, well, as long as you take it from over there. And they've gone, oh, yeah, it's 2 metres, isn't it? I went, yeah. And they went, well, how do I
Bye.
Get in
it?
And I went, well, you don't. You're just going to have to take it to me, aren't you? And they go, all right.
And I bet you
and then look at you
there.
Like you're being funny. Like there's not a massive pandemic going around. Met that David Platt wouldn't let me go near him. Maybe keep 2 metres away.
Do you suddenly get a mask out and put it on? When you haven't had one on, you put it on and go, yep, ready.
Gloves.
Right. Enough of mistakes, enough of hair. Shall we talk about films?
The film, yeah.
7. Synopsis. Actually, as well, Jack did a really good synopsis for Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, I did.
Kept it to about 40 seconds.
It was really good.
Well. Go on, Jack. Right. Synopsis.
So 7, it follows 2 detectives, Mills and Somerset, Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman, and they're investigating this case of this man gets murdered and then this other person gets murdered, and they realise quickly that they're linked, and they realise that they think they might have a serial killer on their hands because they've got 2 murders and... It looks like as though they're connected to the 7 deadly sins, which, of course, there's 7 of them. They've got 2. So they think they're in pursuit of a serial killer and they've no idea who he is.
Well done.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Morgan Freeman's sort of like the seen it all, coming to the end of retirement, isn't he?
Yeah.
Bit like you in the podcast. Oh, holy shit. I'm on retirement. And you, yeah.
Well, yeah. And I'm, yeah. I'm Brad Pitt.
Oh, there we go.
Jack's Gwyneth Paltrow.
Actually, of course, I think you're a Gwyneth Paltrow, if I'm honest, with your new hair. So he's coming to retirement, and then Brad Pitt's like the new lad who joins the force in the big city, isn't he? He's been out the sticks.
What big city is it? I just got it that it always rained.
New York, isn't it?
Well, it's never actually said what city it is, but there's certain references to New York. You see a yellow taxi, although they've got them in LA, haven't they? But then you see...
it's not raining like that.
They're in a diner at one point, and I think you see New York pizza or something on the outside.
I think it is meant to be...
It's meant to be New York.
Yeah, and he wanted that feeling. David Fincher wanted that feeling of it. You reflect back the crime that you're witnessing is reflected back in the images that you see day to day. So when you see someone in their flat, it's dark, it's nasty. He wanted every person's place where you went to be really... you know what I mean? The worst place you could imagine living.
Yeah.
So he created that in every single spot. So someone dies in a flat and you go into that guy's flat and it's just filthy. So he wanted to do that. He wanted to amp it up each time.
Mm. And that first house, the first murder, oof.
So the first murder's gluttony, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they go into the house and it's a lad who's died in a bowl of spaghetti.
What a way to go, by the way, tortured by food.
He's been force-fed.
Yeah. He's got barbed wire around his ankles, barbed wire around his hands, hasn't he?
Mm.
And he's been force-fed. But they work out has he been kept alive? Or something's burst inside him, hasn't it? His stomach burst.
Yeah. He eats himself to death. Yeah. That was the autopsy. Which, what a way to go, if you ask me.
And very quickly, Morgan Freeman works out that this is the start of murders, where they just think it's a guy who's just been... Because he's got a knife in his back, hasn't he?
Mm.
Yeah, something's happened, an attack, he's died, his heart's blown up or whatever. Brad Pitt thinks, it's just one murder, but Morgan Freeman says...
Because it's the things that he's done. I mean, he's made sure he kept him there. He's gone to the shops and got him some food, and then he's gone back and got him more food, so he's, committed...
Yeah.
And doesn't Morgan Freeman say that there was no motive to kill?
No. Yeah.
Isn't that?
Yes, exactly.
There's no reason that this guy should have been killed.
What did you think of that? The opening there, Coulson, where were you then? What were you expecting from the film?
Well, I was expecting to be scary.
No, I said thriller.
Which I think is scary.
Scary.
Oh, right.
Coulson goes, thriller, scary.
What's the difference between thriller and horror?
Horror is jumpy, isn't it, really? Horror's like for the jumps, really, isn't it? For the screams and stuff. And thriller's like mentally.
Yeah.
The thriller takes you, Seven takes you both ways, doesn't it? It does your head in because you're thinking this guy is so psychopathic, he's killing people. And it can take him a year to kill you, he's planning it. And then you see the horror of what he's done. But the horror is just all out. There's no not as much of a psychological element. That you pieced together, didn't you? As you're watching the film, you're piecing together, this one's next. I wonder what he's going to do.
When the film started, the first thing I thought is, obviously Morgan Freeman and Brad Pitt's relationship is a bit off, isn't it?
Yeah, well, he's the new sort of cocky sort of detective.
Well, he's replacing him, and he's inevitably going to be replacing him.
Yeah.
But he kind of... There's kind of that standoffish bit between him, and it's almost a bit of a competition. And it doesn't take long for them to form this quite strong bond because of the case, does it?
Well, he's retiring in 6 days, and he's in Morgan Freeman. So he doesn't want the case. He's like, I can't do this. It's not going to be my last case. So Brad Pitt...
Because he knows that there's going to be more than one murder.
And then the chief texts Brad Pitt off the case, doesn't he? And says, you've got this other case, which the downtown lawyer has been murdered, and the word greed has been put on the floor in blood, which is when Morgan Freeman thinks there might be something in this case to the other one, and that's when he goes back to the fat man's apartment, and he discovers that the fridge has been moved. So he moves the fridge, and written on the wall in Greece is gluttony. And that's when he pieces together that we're going to have five more murders on his hands.
There's a link, yeah. Yeah.
So that's when they team up and they're like, yeah, right, we need to try and solve this together.
I really like Morgan Freeman as an actor, but I think he will always be God.
What?
Just because of Bruce Almighty. I think everything I see him in, I think he's God.
So all the way through that film, when he's investigating, yeah, well, he should know he's God.
Yeah, no, I kept thinking,
he shouldn't even be asking any questions. He should just walk straight in. It's him. Well, how do you know I'm God? I solve every crime. I made it all.
Cabinet. Done.
All you do is think of him as God. I like Morgan Freeman. I think he's very good in that film.
Yeah, he is.
He's class. I wasn't so, this time of watching, I wasn't so into Brad Pitt.
Really? Why?
No. He didn't seem, I think, Morgan Freeman seems very weighted in that world. And there were times, it wasn't towards the till towards the end that I got a bit more into Brad Pitt. He just felt, at the start of the film, too awkward for me. He was trying to put on the rookie cop, or the cop who asked too many questions, who talked too much. I don't know, there was just something, it didn't work so well for me. Maybe it's just because I like Morgan Freeman's character more.
Yeah, but is that not the right thing, though, to do with Brad Pitt? That you're not really meant to like him. You are meant to think probably. He's a bit of a cocky shit.
And you're meant to like him towards the end.
Yeah. Well, so I suppose what's clever is, so you have all these murders going on, then you have Morgan Freeman, Brad Pitt not getting on, but through the film, Brad Pitt's wife, Gwyneth Paltrow, invites Morgan Freeman around for dinner, and they get to know each other. Then she meets Morgan Freeman and tells him she's pregnant, doesn't she?
Freeman.
I've made it.
God. Just call him God.
She meets God and tells him she's pregnant. He goes, I know, I'm God. So you see that bond between those two and the deepening of the case. I did like that. I think it's a very well done script.
Yeah.
So am I right in thinking, because obviously you said to me, you said about seven murders. Now, I was thinking it was called Seven, because isn't it 7 days?
Well, it is over the course of 7 days as well. There's a lot of references.
Seven deadly sins. It's not seven murders, though, is it?
No.
It's just the seven deadly sins. So at the end, he stopped murdering, and he wants wrath. So they keep going through each one, don't they? And then Morgan Freeman, being God, understands that someone somewhere, I mean, this is 1995, so he hasn't gone on the old Google. He's gone to a library, isn't he? And they said that Freeman's got a hunch that this lad will have taken books out of the library to research the seven deadly sins. And he finds out that the FBI keep records of people who take out certain books, how to make a bomb. So it's certain books that trigger the FBI, and they find this one guy, don't they, John Doe, who's been reading this book. They go to his apartment. Kevin Spacey's character then shoots at both of them. And they think, we've got our guy. Then he disappears. There's no fingerprints in his flat. There's nothing in his flat that will give him away. So they think,
other than the fact you can tell it's him in his flat, can't you?
Yes.
You can tell they're onto the right guy.
But before that, you've missed out Sloth. That murder with a guy in the bed.
Oh, yes, actually, let's go back to that. That was awful, wasn't it? I remember that bit, and I still bloody jumped.
Yeah, the guy in the bed calls.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Because they get the fingerprints.
When the cop is talking to him in the face,
they get the fingerprints off another crime scene, and they take it to this flat, don't they? And they get the old SWAT team in, and they go, go on there.
Because they think that's the murderer, don't they?
They think it's the murderer, and they go in, they go through the flat. They find a bed with a cloth over it. They pull the cloth back, and it's a decomposed body, isn't it?
Yeah.
With one arm. Yeah. He's chopped his hand off to use his hand as the fingerprints.
Yeah.
They pull it back, and then the SWAT team policeman gets in the lad's face having a go at him, and he wakes up.
That's what you deserve, you sick man.
Fincher told the SWAT guys, the actors, that the guy in the bed's
dead.
And you've got one line where you have to go up to him and say, you got what you deserved. Cut, end of scene. That's what he said.
So the guy didn't know.
No, none of the SWAT team knew. So when he jumps up, that's when they go, shit.
I fell off the old sofa. Yeah. Star gave me the look and I went, he's woken up.
Yeah.
He looks bad. What did you think of that bit, Cole? That was bad.
That did make me jump, that.
The actor that played that was just a really skinny guy and he weighed like 90 pounds or something like that. And when he auditioned, Fincher said, yep, you got the part. Try and lose a bit more weight before we start filming, just as a gag. And he did. He lost a further fucking 5 pounds. He's so like they 85 go, pounds.
They take him to hospital, don't they? And then the lad said he's been kept alive for a year.
Yeah.
Bang on a year.
Bang on and a year.
His landlord said he was the dream tenant. Never made any noise and paid his rent in cash.
I forgot about that.
He's dying upstairs in bed.
Dying upstairs. And did you notice also, really got me, he had all those magic trees all the way through the house.
Car air
fresheners all the way through the flat because of the smell.
Could you imagine the props department there?
The thing is, that's so clever, that one, Fincher does. Yeah. He just puts those air fresheners up and you immediately know it fucking stinks in there.
Yeah. You know there's a body. Yeah. 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 And you know what? It's coming.
Very clever. Yeah, you're right. Very visual, that, isn't it?
There's quite a lot of the puzzles that you almost unsolve as they're happening. But I guess that's because you're following God and Brad Pitt. And
what I liked about it
through them
was none of the clues seemed
obvious.
You know, sometimes you get a clue in a movie or whatever and you think, oh, that's a bit shit.
Yeah.
You know, they find something on the floor. Or these were really well done.
Yeah.
Like, they really had gone into it. Well, that follows that, and that follows that, and that follows that. And you were led. Spacey was kind of wanting them to find them, wasn't he? Spacey's character was always wanting them to solve to go to the next one.
Because he needed to for by the fifth murder. Because if he wasn't caught, he hands himself in, doesn't he?
Yes.
And that's what he does. So he hands himself
back
in.
Back to the library. Left. You're jumping ahead.
Bloody hell.
So back to the library.
Do you not know? My laptop will freeze in a bit. We've got to get this in.
They go to the library. They find out the book. They go to John Doe's house, which is Spacey's flat.
Which,
he
by the way,
them.
Hang on. You know, Morgan Freeman says it's illegal for the state police to get those things, but it's fine for the FBI.
Yes.
In 2001, the government overruled it that all police are now available to get that information.
From
libraries, yeah. Not just the FBI, just the normal police can now.
Oh.
In America, yeah.
Great bit when Brad Pitt's... Because they're basically saying they need a warrant to knock his flat door down. Yeah. And Brad Pitt kicks the door down and Morgan Freeman's like, what a dick, you've acted rationally there. And then it cuts to that scene afterwards where Brad Pitt's interviewing the girl in the street. And she basically says, yeah, I've seen him coming out of that room when the murders are happening. Yeah. And he stops recording and he goes, thanks, you did great. Give her some food. Give her some food to the homeless girl. I was like, that's funny.
So they chase the John Doe, Spacey's character, who shoots them. Hmm. And then if you notice in the chase, Brad Pitt falls off a roof and breaks his arm. But he broke his arm in real life, so they had to put that in. He broke his arm halfway through the film. So they had to put it in.
I don't know.
But he broke his arm. He came on set with a broken arm.
That's why he's got a...
That's why he's got a cast. So he broke his arm for real. They went, well, you don't break your arm in the film. And then Fincher had to put that bit in. He fell off the road and goes, argh! And they go, right, now you've broken your arm. Quick, put it in plaster.
That's the thing. You know, it's raining throughout the entire film.
Yeah.
That's because on day one of filming, it was pissing it down. And they had to release Brad Pitt within 55 days because he was doing 12 Monkeys. So, just so they were okay with continuity, they got rain machines in. Just so they went, it'll always be raining. It'll look great.
Could you imagine?
And just so we say it, just so we definitely end on time, we're going to make every scene raining.
A full film with rain bars. Yeah. You know how awful they are.
Yeah, they are.
imagine doing the whole film.
When you're on set with just decomposing body next to you, like 12 hours going... Oh, crikey, what are you having for lunch? I don't fancy it. I'm not going to have anything. The look is amazing.
That in that bed, 14 hours in makeup. That man in that bed. 14 hours? I mean, how do you do that? You turn up to work, 14 hours, and then it's...
You're only
right
allowed to
night,
work 12 hours a day.
See you in the morning.
Yeah. We've got 10 minutes to film.
You've got to
sleep. Can you just lie down?
They get him
you're
in.
You're 12 hours a day. They must have had to do the makeup over 2 days.
Must have done.
No, you can work as long... They can work you as long as they want. I think it's the break between it. So they could work you. They'll call him at 2 a.m. They'll do his makeup. Then
just,
they'll start
just go
filming.
Back to sleep.
Go back to when you wake sleep up, you're in his like makeup. Heroin addict. And then carry on. So then the Spacey comes into the police station, doesn't he? And that's the game changer. He that's the next level. Carry
he
on,
he hands himself in, basically. Yeah. And they arrest him immediately. And then they're like, yeah, we've got you, we've got you. But the thing is, this is what Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman thinks weird. He's not finished his 7 deadly sins. So he's only done 5. And there's another 2 left. There's what is wrath and envy.
Yeah.
And the police are like, fuck it, who cares? We've got him, arrest him. And Freeman and Brad Pitt are like, no, this is there's something weird here. There's something's going on. He immediately demands his lawyer. His lawyer comes to him with a deal and he says, there are 2 bodies, and I will take Detective Mills and Detective Somerset only to these 2 bodies, and I will plead guilty. I'll give you a signed confession just as long as Detective Mills and Somerset come with me. And the police are like, no, well, you're not having a deal. And then he says, well, I'll plead insanity and then I'll go to a mental hospital. And they're sort of like, on the grounds of the
heinous
crime
that he's
done.
His lawyer turns around and says, you know I can get him
off,
doesn't he?
You can probably get him off with that.
Yeah.
So that they get him convicted in a state prison and he goes down for life or... I don't even know if they have the death penalty in New York.
Death penalty.
If it is New York. Anyway, so they agree, and then they go out, don't they, into the desert to get the last 2 bodies.
Followed by the same SWAT guy in the helicopter.
Yeah.
They couldn't afford another one. He does everything. Hold on. I do dead bodies and helicopters. Give me a second. I'll put another suit on. He made me laugh. And he was off his head, wasn't he?
That yeah, SWAT he was.
He was like, I've got 2 lines here. Yeah. I'm fucking going for it.
It's the same actor that's in Wild Hogs, you know, plays the cop.
It is. Constant. It is. Oh, well done, Jack.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, I saw him last night and I went, Wild Hogs. I remember you.
I watched it and went... Why do I know him? Oh,
Wild
Hogs. Good. Wild Hogs. What a... From 7 to Wild Hogs. He's got range.
So, the minute they get in the car... Well, in fact, the minute Spacey says, I want to take both of them out to find the next 2 bodies, I'm instantly thinking, them 2 are going to get murdered. He's got a plan. And he's going to drive them somewhere and blow them up.
Right.
Because they're going to be his last 2.
Yeah.
But then those scenes in the car, that's when it kind of really did step up a game. But I don't know if that's because Spacey was very good. Because
he gets in his head, doesn't
he? I found it a little bit slow. But then I found Freeman and Brad Pitt just a little bit slow. But when Spacey was in between the 3 of them, I liked their characters a hell of a lot more. And I don't know if that's because of what he was bringing out of them, but of Spacey just sat there calm, and the way it was shot with his mouth through that same hole in the like protective fence.
It was a bit Silence of the Lambs, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that was when the film got going. Do you know what? I thought he reminded me a lot of Hannibal Lecter, a lot, in the way he looked and everything. But that's when the film got going for me. Coincidentally, it was the last 20 minutes.
So what had you been doing before that, Colton?
Going... Just,
Skyping. On
quick
Call
meal,
of Duty.
Shampooed my hair. Had a game of COD. Didn't miss much.
I mean, don't you think, though, that the tension... What I love about the film is... You sort of get a bit of relax... When they're between... bits of murders, you're kind of like getting a bit of story and you're kind of a bit relaxed, and then you get to the next murder, my heart rate you're getting like, oh,
because each one
really
just
bad.
Got more gruesome and gruesome,
it did,
and gruesome.
Didn't it?
Yeah,
and you comes on, you're like, oh no, that's bad. It sort of stayed with me a while. I needed a bit of downtime
because
my head would split. And then as soon as he said, like you, Coulson, I need you in the car, you're just like, oh, this is going to be awful. He's planned this all out. So where do they go? They go to the desert, don't they?
Yeah.
And on the way, he's talking about how good his plan is. And Brad Pitt's like, look, you've just been a reckless killer. You've not been anything clever to anyone else. Yeah. Whereas Spacey is sat there going, you just wait. Mm. You just wait.
So then they arrive at the spot that he says the two bodies are. And then Brad Pitt gets him out the car, doesn't he? And they're like, well, where's the bodies? And all of a sudden, Somerset sees this van approaching. And they're like, van. So he runs after the van. And he like tells him to get out of the car, whoever it is. And it's a courier, isn't he? He's dropping off a package for Detective Mills. And it had to be the here at
DPD.
7 o'clock.
He said, I can't throw it behind the bin. I've got to give DPD. It to you.
So it's a little.
By the way, just completely off top, DPD now have to take a picture with the door open. Pain in the arse. Absolute pain in the arse. Can't leave it. They have to have the door open. Sorry, Jack.
What? What do you mean?
Just Ben said to me about DPD. Producer Ben knows what
the
I'm
DPD
on about.
Driver, they just throw it at our door. They don't take a picture.
Mm-hmm. Well, must be different in the South. Go on, Jack.
So, yeah, they got the box and he says, right, off you go. So he sends the driver off and he's got the box. And so it's fragile.
I'm thinking bomb.
Cut to Wild Hogs in the helicopter. It's a bomb.
Oh yeah, he's going bomb squad.
Get the bomb squad. He's in a different film. They're playing a really fucking
serious
good
game.
Serious thriller. He's in fucking Wild Hogs too. It's a bomb. I was like, shit, dude. Well done. You've done well there. You've only got two. It's a bomb. But make the most of it. So he gets the box, he gets his knife out, and opens the box.
He decides to open the box and see what it is. And then he's shocked, and he starts to run towards Brad Pitt. We don't know quite what it is at this point. And as he's running towards Brad Pitt, Kevin Spacey says, I really admire you. I really admire your life. I think you've got it all. And I love your pretty wife. And then that's when he sort of like starts to take interest then, Brad Pitt's character, and he's like, what did you say? So he says, I called round to your house today after you'd gone to work and I tried to play husband, but it didn't really turn out. So I killed your wife and I took her head. And then that's when he's like, whoa. So then Morgan Freeman approaches.
And he says she was pregnant, doesn't he?
Yeah. Well, that's later on, isn't it? He's like, what's he talking about? And he's saying, what's in the box? He's like, Somerset, what's in the box? And he's like, David, give me the gun. And that's when he knows then now that he has killed his wife.
Yeah.
And her head is in that box.
Yeah.
And he's saying, if you kill him, his plan has worked because your wrath
seven deaths.
And his envy.
Yeah.
So your punishment is your wife's head's in a box and my punishment is death because I envy you.
And interestingly, the studio didn't want the head in the box.
I know.
And they sent Fincher the old script, which had that. So they took the head in the box out of the script, and they went, that's fine. For a studio, they don't want to see that. They don't want to be ending on that. It was just too much for them. And Fincher got an old copy of the script. They sent him the wrong one, and it is the head in the box in that one. And he said, well, I won't do it unless the head's in the box. And then Brad Pitt said he wouldn't do it unless it's the head in the box.
They tried to change it loads of times. The producers tried and tried. And Freeman, Brad Pitt and Fincher said, we're off if the head ain't in the box. We're not doing it. You can
You don't see
off.
The head in the box, though.
No, you don't. And Fincher always said...
I mean, you don't need to see it.
You don't need
it.
To,
don't need to
but
see
that's,
it.
But isn't that weird,
or
though,
Gwyneth Paltrow
Ben? So
there.
All the murders and all the crimes that we've seen throughout the film... But yet, the head in the box that you don't see, the producers just wanted to cancel from the film.
Yeah, although I think you'd probably be... One, it's Gwyneth Paltrow's head.
Yeah.
Where two, those things, I'm never really sure whether...
It works.
I just can just see
They wanted
see
a happy
why.
Ending. They wanted a happy ending, didn't
but
they?
But it's very smart that they don't. You don't see it, isn't it? It's very smart that you... Freeman gives you that look of, this is the worst thing I could have seen. And then your head... starts to roll about. I don't blame them. I can understand I don't blame them. I mean, it's a tough ending. And then they wanted it stopped.
It wouldn't have been the same film. Everybody knows that film and knows that ending.
I did not want Brad Pitt to shoot him. I was there going, Mills, don't do it. Don't give him what he wants. Don't give him
they
what
did
he
hum
wants.
And ah about this on whether that he should shoot him or whether Morgan Freeman should shoot him.
Yes.
They were going to do it that he was going to do it in the end. And Brad Pitt said, in order for his character to come full circle and Kevin Spacey's plan to be genius, ultimately it just has to be Brad Pitt. It just has to be.
For the Spacey plan to be efficient, it does. But I think I would quite like the aspect of if they basically said, well, fuck you, we're not doing what you want. But when your wife's head is in a box, you're allowed to think a bit rash, I guess, aren't you?
Also...
probably, Coulson, yeah. Once, I suppose.
Once the studio did agree, okay, you can have your head in the box, right? They still... In the script, it's the head in the box, it's the shoot Kevin Spacey, and it's the helicopter pan up, end of film. It ended on them in the desert. And the studio wanted to have loads of more scenes, like 2 weeks later, and Brad Pitt's court case, and... Morgan Freeman crying.
They did think about showing Morgan Freeman retired, didn't they? On a farm or something.
Yeah, they wanted all that in. It's like, but that's where the drama is there.
So in the end, Brad Pitt shoots him.
Mm.
Yeah. But what would you have thought if they'd ended with maybe Freeman just looking in the box, cut off that? Was it a head? Was it her head? Was it not? Or him realising it was the head, going up to Brad Pitt, but then you don't know whether he shoots him or not.
I'd have probably liked it more because I didn't want Brad Pitt to shoot him. Because Brad Pitt shooting him means evil wins. Even though Spacey's dead, he's won. Because he's got that line in the car where he's like, oh no, you'll know about my master plan. Oh yeah.
And he says this will be talked about for years to come. It'll be studied, doesn't he? He says all that. And it will.
Weirdly, I felt a bit more sorry for Morgan Freeman's character.
Because it was his bow out.
It was his bow out. And he'd gone all that time, seen all those things. And then the last one was the most brutal.
Yeah.
And he'd never shot someone.
Yeah. And he couldn't shoot him. Because actually, Jack, probably Morgan Freeman should have shot him.
Because he'd never shot anyone.
Yeah, he never shot anyone. He couldn't, at the final... I love that bit in the script because you're thinking, is he then regretting not shooting him and taking it for Brad Pitt?
Mm. Probably a better ending. Morgan Freeman shoots him.
Yeah, I see why Brad Pitt retired. Did it. I like the bleakness of the ending because it's bleak crime.
I liked how he did it as well, Brad Pitt. So you really thought, is he gonna? Is he not? And he was really fighting not doing it.
Yeah.
You could see he's really fighting not doing it. But then there's that flicker that Fincher puts in, and it's that 1 second frame of Gwyneth Paltrow's face.
Yes.
And immediately Brad Pitt's reaction just changes to, you're fucking dying.
Yes.
And then he just shoots him and blows his head off.
That's very interesting. Yeah. The director is
fighting it. One frame, done, dead.
It's a very subtle piece of filmmaking.
Yeah.
He just throws that in to go, that's
enough to push you over.
And he must have, you know, I know from editing stuff I've done, he's gone back and forward with that edit.
Yeah.
He would have put it in, taken it out, put it in, taken it out.
Because he'd have gone, I need something that definitely throws him over the edge. I know, I'm going to put a frame of his wife in.
Yes.
And then that tells the audience, well, of course you're going to kill him.
Yes. Yeah.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Should we rate it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go on then, Jack.
For me, I've always loved this film. I love Fincher as a director. All four of them as a cast. Brilliant. Story, very good. Plods along. I love the colour of it. And the camera work. It's sort of shot as well like like a police drama, you know, like those 24 hours with the police, like documentaries. How it's all sort of handheld. It's all in the back of a car, a police car. It's all sort of like following them. I just think it's shot
video
very
game
well.
POV, isn't
yeah,
it?
I really like how it's shot.
I think they shot it on film, and he did some process to the whole film. Apparently, he took something like the silver out of the film, and gives it that look, that real grimy look. Yeah.
Dark.
Yes.
Yeah. I love Spacey's character. And interestingly, Spacey, I looked out for him at the beginning of the credits, and he's not on.
He's not in it.
He's not on the first credits. And Kevin Spacey requested, because they were going to put him like, it was going to be Brad Pitt, Morgan Freeman, Kevin Spacey, and then you all know Kevin Spacey's a murderer. So he requested to be taken out of the credits. And he did this for two reasons, because obviously the audience wouldn't know that he's the baddie. And the second reason, he wouldn't have to do any press release for the film. So he didn't have to do any interviews or anything for the film.
And then he's first at the end credits,
isn't
he?
Yeah, as soon as the credits roll, it says John Doe as Kevin Spacey, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Then they go up the wrong way.
Then that's when I realised that it was Kevin Spacey. Go on then, Jack.
I'm gonna go off here, and it's a rating I've not given before, and it's 8.75.
You what? What? Yes. What?
Yeah.
Are you
Hold on. Make the rules as we go along.
It's not a fucking maths class. Right. You've been homeschooling too long, you have.
Listen.
You've got a calculator out and go, 7.5.
8.75.
Is this allowed?
Yeah,
it's allowed.
It is allowed.
Is it?
8.75, because I think it's miles better than 8.5. Well, 0.255.
Oh, it's miles better. It's a 0.25 better.
I gave Silence of the Lambs 9, and I think Silence of the Lambs is better. So that's why
I've gone... Yeah, of the Lambs is definitely better.
That's why I've gone 8.75.
Right, Ben, let's see what...
Well, I'm going for something fucking different here.
You put into
I'm going
it.
For pi. 3.14, whatever it is. Fucking, I've thought about it. It's definitely a bit more than... I'm going to go 8. I think it's a very good script. I think it is very well directed. Brad Pitt notches it down for me. I think there could have been someone better in that part. Morgan Freeman, I really love. Spacey does that part brilliantly. I mean, he's not on, is it? It's extraordinary what a part to have. You come right at the very end and someone goes... I mean, you imagine, can't you? Don't worry, we've had an hour and a half build-up. You're on.
You're on. 10 minutes.
You're on. Good luck. 10 minutes. So, no, I really love that film. I do. But, yeah, an 8 for me. I think the script is bloody brilliant.
Yeah.
And the design on that film is one in a million. The designers are so good. When you see those murders, you're like, whoosh. So 8 for me. Coles?
7.5.
Ooh.
I know you might be a bit upset with that, but didn't blow me away. But we have, I mean, it's following a tough film, isn't it? Because the last film I watched was Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think... The Freeman and Pitt relationship, it just didn't move as quickly as I wanted it to. Like I say, Spacey changed that film for me.
Oh.
Like, really changed that film.
For me, Freeman moved character through that film.
Mm.
He had realisations, and he was a different character at the start than he was at the end. Brad Pitt didn't do that as much for me. He was still the same character. Okay, he'd had things happen to him. But he was still that character. It hadn't developed.
I just like that. I couldn't second guess any of it.
Do you know what I mean? That's brilliant. I mean, when that guy wakes up, and my fucking
guy
head,
wakes up, photographer.
Every time it gets me.
When Spacey's the photographer on the stairs, you never think.
Yeah,
he's the
clever twist. No, that was a clever twist.
That was a good twist.
Yeah,
and then you find the picture.
Yeah. It's good.
So get your calculator out. So, Carol Vorderman, please, two from the top. Get your calculator out. We've gone
7.5 at 8.75.
16.75. So, 17.25. Then what did you give it?
8.
You give it a 7.
24.25?
I think
God,
that's right.
Why have you made it difficult? Bloody hell. 24.25. It's the first ever 0.25 that we've had. So
is it,
well done,
is it
seven
producer Ben? He's going to give us a confirmation. Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah, we've got the nod that we've passed our math.
It's always good at the end of a podcast to throw in a bit of home tutoring, isn't it? Just to invent.
This is why we're educational this week. We're not in the film and TV category. We're in the education category.
So, Coulson.
Yes.
Can I ask you two questions? First question, is it still recording?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, an hour and 5 minutes.
Perfect. Second question. What's your film, Coulson?
Silence of the Lambs. No. Tough question. Tough one. Got two in my head. But I think one of them might almost be a season finale.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
So, I don't know whether to give you what I think is going to be the showstopper or go for a film that I mentioned to you the other day that actually fits really well.
Oh, we'll go for that.
Shall I go for that?
Yeah, go for that.
Go for that. Go for that.
I texted you about it the other day, and I think you both said you hadn't seen it. Seven Psychopaths.
Is it good?
It's the same guy that made In Bruges, and it's the same actor that's in Bruges, and I like it.
A lot of people have said it's good, yeah.
It's quite similar. It's both got sevens in the title. It's got seven different stories in. Thought it might work.
Good.
See if you rate it higher than a seven.
Yeah,
great.
Good.
Mint.
So, yeah. That's it until next week. Hopefully,
you'll be hearing this episode next week.
Hopefully, it works. And keep in touch with us on social media at Sofa Cinema Club on Twitter and Instagram. Until next week, good night. God bless.
Good night.
Good night.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.